Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection, and it's always a wonderful pleasure to be with you. This is the August 23rd program. For those of you that will be watching this at a later time, it is 6 p.m. on the West Coast. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And, well, you can see by the background, I'm in a different location. Well, I've been spending this week with friends in Colorado. So it's 7 p.m. here where I'm at in Colorado, and I was with some friends this week. We experienced going through, you know, the eclipse that so many of us did this week. There were some of us, we were going to hop in our car and we were going to drive up to Casper, Wyoming, where they had the totality. Well, but we found out that the traffic would have been an absolute mess. When it was over, going from Casper, Wyoming, back down into Colorado, it was like it was bumper to bumper, and it was crawling along at 30 and 40 miles an hour for over 100 miles. I thought, I don't want any part of that. So we just went ahead and experienced it here where I was in Colorado, and I'm still here at a friend's house. So that's the scoop, and I want to thank you again. Last week that I was not able to do a program, well, I was in a very, very busy week, and I'll share that with you in just a minute. Now, also, I am doing live streaming broadcast this week, but there might be a problem in the video of the live streaming. And the reason for that is because where I'm at in this location, I'm finding out I don't have enough bandwidth. And I'm making adjustments to the bandwidth of how well, you know, the picture will pick up. In fact, hold on, let me go over there. Yeah, it goes through buffering off and on and stuff like that. So, folks, I'll do what I can, but you should be able to capture the audio on live streaming on YouTube. I'm going to start doing some experimenting with this because, see, when I'm at home, everything is fine. But when I'm on the road, my same equipment doesn't work as well, and I'm starting to learn what it is. And I don't know that until I come live on air with you, because when I'm with Blanca, and you know, she's talking, she's fine, but she's coming through Blog Talk Radio, and she doesn't know how well it's coming through out there on the YouTube. And so what I'm going to do, I may start experimenting doing this on Facebook, you know, instead of YouTube. So, and I know there's been some text messages that have come through. It's saying that you hear me loud and clear. Folks, for those of you that are going to text me, let me know, are you listening on the radio or are you watching this on live YouTube live streaming? I know the radio is fine. Blog Talk Radio is always fine. That will always work. It's been able to get it to come through. And when I'm using the Blog Talk Radio and the YouTube live stream at the same time, that's where we have some of the problems. And we're also working on making some audio connections. And as I said, I don't know this until we actually do it. And to test it out, I'm limited how many times I can go on to Blog Talk. I can only do it once each day. So I have to find someone, you know, on an off day to test it. And so we'll work on it, okay? But thank you for the patience. And if this doesn't work real well for you, you know, in the YouTube, then you can go over to Blog Talk Radio and you can listen in there. And, again, all you have to do is go to the website. The links are there. It says, you know, click here on here for the YouTube live streaming or click on here for the Blog Talk Radio. So thank you. Again, once the message there, let me just check and see what somebody is saying. They're saying radio works fine. Okay. So, all right. If somebody is out there that has my phone number and you're watching this on YouTube, would you just send me a text how well this is working on the YouTube? So, because what I might have to do is that, see if it doesn't end up working really well. Okay. Thank you very much for the messages that are there that are coming in. So appreciate that. So what happened? Where was I last week? Well, I have to be very careful, and this is when I really have to take the next step of being very careful about what I have to say. But I've mentioned in the past that I have met face-to-face now with five of these largest trusts in the world, and the smallest one has 40 zeros in their accounts. The largest one has 120, and these are real accounts that they have, but obviously you have what is called the central banking system that doesn't allow them to move it. But I just forget, remembered something. Before I get into the program here tonight, I need to say, Blanca, I'm sorry I didn't introduce you and bring you in before I got going. How are you doing tonight, my dear?
Well, I'm just sitting here filing my nails while you talk away.
Okay. Well, let me say this. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, can you hear Blanca talking? That's what we want to find out. We want to know if she's going to be able to come through, because does the YouTube come through to, you know, the audio of YouTube come through when it's coming from Blog Talk? But Blanca, keep talking. I'll let the folks kind of text me and see how it goes, okay?
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll go through, because I know people are looking forward to the show. And then you've got probably people are going to be calling in as well. Now, I detect a slight echo, so I'm not sure if your listeners can hear that.
I don't hear it on my end.
Okay.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
it's very faint, so that's good. It's not as distracting. So that's good.
Okay.
When it's very loud, then it gets distracting, but it's I think it's fine. It's not too distracting here, so hopefully they're okay with it too.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Well,
that
I haven't
okay.
had anybody hold on. It just says, let me see here. Yes, they can hear you on the YouTube feedback. Oh, there's feedback, but they can hear it. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Ah,
right. Like,
you know,
I can hear a slight
all this technology about how we want to do it.
Right. But not to where it's screaming
you know,
back
I'll
at me.
I'll just have
like
to keep working on it. You know, when I'm home, we're fine. When I'm on the road, you know, it doesn't work very much. But I'm on the road so much, I'm going to try to figure out how to get this to work. So.
Well,
all right. I know some of those folks are saying, come on, get on with the program. So, yeah.
Well, yes. So the clips, we all survived the eclipse.
Anything else you have to share with
us? Here we are. Well, I was just going to say, we all survived the eclipse. Here we are, one piece, one totality. So that's good. Unexpectedly, mm-hmm. we ended up downtown with, you know, a bunch of friendly strangers, folks, and everybody was in very good spirits. And just wishing the best. And so I thought that was a very good sign. Sometimes you watch in the mainstream media, people are hitting each other over the head with all kinds of things. But in our world, it doesn't look like that. So anyway, we had a very nice eclipse experience.
Well, I'm getting some text coming in saying that the YouTube feedback, it's on YouTube, there is a feedback, and it's very distracting. So.
Okay.
Folks, I would just say go over to the radio program. I don't know what I'll do tonight. I may end up, you know, I'll go back and listen to it and, you know, after it's recorded and see how well it comes out. But, you know, I don't know what else to say. It takes time to work out all the bugs. And unless some of you have got some computer expertise that can tell me how to make this thing work. One guy said, well, it's because I had these headphones in. No, these headphones are not attached to the computer. They're attached to my Blue Yeti microphone is what they're attached to. That is not so. Yeah, that's all to do. But with that, anything else you'd like to share with us?
Oh, that's okay. But like I said, Dave, if you want to set some time, you and I can really, you know, work this out. So don't hesitate on that one so we can get this straightened out.
I'm just going to have to do it. So.
Yes.
Yeah, because, as I said, you know, when I'm at home, it's fine. Everything was fine
right.
at home. So, yeah, it's when I'm on the road. So I can still work on this at home, but I'll just have to use the laptop because that's what I'm doing. So, and how everything
mm-hmm.
works there. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. And I'm just, you know, sorry about the echo, but then your callers will, you know, it'll be the same thing. But we're good. We're ready for an update.
Right. Well,
we haven't heard from you.
All right. Let's do this. Okay. First, I want to say, again, thank you very much. We have it's 2 weeks from Saturday. I'll be doing the workshop in Orlando because that will be September 9th. And then 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Amsterdam. And if you'd like to take a vacation to Europe and join us in Amsterdam, you would be more than willing. I should have the exact location locked up there in the next few days. I've already got a couple of hotels that I'm working with of where we will have the location. You can anticipate it will be right very close to the airport. So if people fly in, they can catch a shuttle instead of having to rent a car to come, you know, to the meetings that are there. But it'll be nice to be there. I'm finding out those meeting rooms are a whole lot more expensive there in Amsterdam than they are here in the United States. But I'm doing this just, it's not about being able to, I just want to make sure we don't lose money on this one. Okay, that's all. But okay, that's enough for that stuff. Thank you very much. Okay, I had mentioned last week I was in some very important meetings, and I was. I had talked about that. See, I am aware, and I have met face-to-face now with the administrators of these five extremely large trusts. And these trusts are at the point they literally have accounts in on bank screens, but they can't move the money. And there's a various reason for that. Because remember, I've always talked about there's four different levels of individuals or organizations in this whole exchange process. The first one would be someone like me, who's aggregators. We collect currencies from people. We aggregate, bring them in together. And then I go as a single client to a broker. And the broker is the one who basically handles the transaction. And the broker basically has the relationship with the fund funding it. And so those are, you know, and some of these trusts are funders, but there are coordinators. And the coordinators are the governments. The coordinators are the ones who are going to determine how much can be released. Because in our case, it's going to be basically Homeland Security and U.S. Treasury. That's going to be jointly making decisions with other countries about how much money are they going to release into the global economy without blowing up the global economy. Because how many times have I always said, you know, follow the money and do the math. Follow the money and do the math. Because when you follow the money, it's meaning who's funding it. It's knowing who these funders are. And there are, again, three different categories of funders. You have these very, very large trusts. You then have some governments, and they have acquired the funds through these off-market trading platforms. And then you have some other private organizations, and those are usually the smaller ones. But the money predominantly, I should say, let me come back. Now I want to rephrase that. The three different funders are basically the large trust, the dragon families, and the who are also referred to as the elders, and we sometimes hear them as the grandfather. It's those. And then also those, you know, it's the government. So you have the trust. You have the dragon families, and you have the governments. Those are the three different funders. Now, the governments, obviously, they're not using tax revenue for this. They have coordinated. They have worked together, and they have been in the off-market trading platforms, just as some of those very large trusts are, where they have basically acquired all this money. But at the end of the day, it's the coordinators, the governments, who are the final decision makers on when all this is going to be released and how much is going to be released. They are not going to release an unlimited amount of money. Just the private exchanges that I am familiar with, it's going to take scores of quadrillions of dollars to pay. Some of us are already in contracts, and we've already got rates in those contracts that were given to us. And just knowing how many people are in there, how much they have brought in, and what the probable rates are, it's going to take well over $100 quadrillion to pay for all this. We can't release that kind of money out into the global economy without it blowing things up. And the countries know that. So that is why when after the first round is done, we just plain flat do not know how much is going to be released on the exchanges for the second round. That's the unknown question. And I don't think even the coordinators know the answer to that at the time, because it's going to be dependent upon what happens in the first round. Now, I want to come back to this, these folks that I had met with last week. They run a very large trust, and they are absolutely, I sat down with them face to face and said, we are committed to using you and your organization, the Sedona Connection, and the people on your list to release funds for projects. So that's solid, and it's a little different in releasing funds for projects than it is releasing them for currencies. When you release funds for currencies, you're putting money basically into people's bank accounts so they can spend it. when you're releasing funds for projects, you're making basically transfers from a bank ledger in one bank to a bank ledger in another bank, but that money takes a while before it works itself into the economy of where it's being spent, and it's also a limited field of what it's being spent on. It usually means it's being spent on infrastructure development of the type of projects that are taking place. That's a little different. That's the stuff that really creates jobs. That's the stuff that puts people to work. That's the stuff that it expands instead of explodes an economic issue. If you give quadrillions of dollars to individuals to spend, then they're spending it in a different way than there is in infrastructure development. So there's a greater delayed reaction on the infrastructure development before it works itself into the economy, and they can regulate that. They can regulate the flow of that. So that's why there's a far, far, far greater certainty of projects being funded than of currencies being funded. And there's a difference between the two. I don't have that answer, and I get to work with these very, very top people, and they don't all have the answer either. And we still don't know who it is at the very top that is making the decision. In fact, I get to work with some very good contacts in this whole stuff. As I said, stuff that goes right to the very issue of who the funders are. I have a few contacts with some organizers. I have contacts within Homeland Security. I have contacts within the White House. And I have contacts with Dragon families. And yet, they will tell you, it's never known. They have never, ever let it out who is going to be the decision makers. We think it's a coalition of a group, a small number of people that all decide together when it's time for all this stuff to be released. But here's what I want to reiterate, what I've talked before. When it comes to the currency exchange, folks, this is a private only. There's not going to be any public. How are you going to handle another $100 quadrillion when you do the public side of it? This was never designed to be a public issue. So I don't care what they say about 800 number. I don't care what they say about all those banks. You heard my opinion on it. I can't, myself and all of my contacts, can't find anybody who is funding the 800 number process. And also, you have heard me say that if banks, whether it's in their banks where you're going to have, you know, what are these 800 numbers you're going to go in for, or even if it's in off-center locations, if the banks have anything to do with any of this, they open themselves up to a mass class action lawsuit from tens of thousands of bank employees all around this country, let alone all around the world, that have already clearly communicated to these people that this was never going to happen. They were never going to be involved in it. So that's why, to me, you're never going to see that take place. So I'm glancing at my notes, what I'm doing here. So there's another thing that we are learning much more, and I had talked about this on the program a few weeks back, that we're learning how much more that there are black hats in the cabal that are involved in this whole process. You heard me talk about literally the hundreds of millions of boxes of dinar that are out there that we're aware of. We know where they are. We know where they are stored. We know some of the clients who own some of this. And collectively, there's well over 500 million boxes of dinar out there. And each box has 40,000 of those 25K dinar notes, which means each box has a billion dinar inside of it. Well, when you get that much, who's paying for that? Where's the money going to come from that? And knowing that there's that much, we've already had three reports. You see, the people who have these boxes, they're always under basically strict orders. You don't open the box until you're at the end buyer. Well, the end buyers are getting some of these boxes and they're opening them up and they're finding there's nothing but newspaper on the inside. What does that tell you? A whole lot of fraud and corruption in this whole dinar process is what is going on out there. And we're beginning to get reports that not only is it there, it's also in some of the loose dinar issues as well. So we're finding that even there's the potential that some of the funders are direct dinar folks as well, cabal folks as well. So what we're having is we're having white hats and black hats on the funding side. And so why would the cabal be involved in funding all this? It's about power and control. You see, at the end of the day, for them, it's not about How much money do they have? They already have all the money they need for themselves, personally. It's about power and control. It's about keeping power and control. And you and I know that in this shadow world, in contrast to the conventional world, in the shadow world, it's always been about these shadow controllers, and that's been the history of the human, literally hundreds, if not thousands, years, that you always have these elite that hold this power and control over the masses. And we're in a shifting and changing world as information is shifting and changing, and the internet is helping us as everyday people to learn about this. Well, there's a shift in the power and control. They're not just walking away, folks. Now, they are being neutered, which is a different story. Yes, they're being neutered, but they're not all totally walking away. And so there's some of us are beginning to think that some of these private exchanges might be cabal originated to release money for power and control. And how that is going to take place, we don't have all those details. But what I can tell you is there is a shift in the paradigm that is beginning to take place with the power and the control. And it was 3 weeks ago that I talked about the two paradigms that the cabal have predominantly used through history to have power and control. One is controlling information. And they control that in the shadow world by controlling news media outlets, educational outlets, all types, you know, entertainment forms of information outlets. They control all these different forms of information that influences our lives and what we believe. The second paradigm was controlling the world's money supply. And they've always done that through organizations like the Federal Reserve. It's the central banking system of all around the world. And that's why there's always been this strong move on their part to put a central bank into almost every single country that they can around the world. And we're now down to there's just a few countries, North Korea, Cuba, and I'm trying to remember, I think it might have been Afghanistan, that does not have central banks. When they have control the flow of those systems. And country leaders who have opposed that are the ones that have found that it didn't take very long before they were gone within that type of a system. So those have been the two paradigms of power and control. And what we're finding is the internet is now helping people like you and me be able to communicate with each other what we actually know, where we could never do this before. Before the internet came around, if someone like me came up and started telling these stories, we would be silenced right away. We would be shoved off into the corner as a crazy conspiracy thinker and something like that. And we would be, through the information sources of the media, we basically would be, you know, marginalized and almost destroyed, in so many words. And that's how they always controlled that. Well, the internet, they can't do that because you can't control the internet. Governments and individuals can't control the internet. Yes, there are times they can attempt to silence in some things. Yes, there are times that maybe Google or YouTube or Facebook won't allow certain things to be said, but there's usually always an avenue and a way to get around that. I've been fortunate that they haven't silenced, you know, my YouTube videos. They've attempted to silence me in other ways, but they haven't done that yet. And the other thing is, the other paradigm is controlling the world's money supply. And that shift and change is coming is when we neuter the Federal Reserve and the central banking system. And you've heard me talk about one of the ways for us as a collective to do that is the new cryptocurrency process, the new cryptocurrency system, because we're taking money out of what is the central banking system, and then we are moving it into the new system. And I had mentioned something, this is quite interesting. In the cryptocurrency system, by money you put into those accounts, you can basically do everything with your money there. That, and Bitcoin is the predominant one that is used. You can do everything in a cryptocurrency account that you can do in a regular banking account except write a physical check. But here's one example. This is my new BitPay card, as you see. This is a Visa debit card. And I can use it anywhere in the world that Visa is accepted. And it operates just like a regular debit card, but instead of taking money out of my bank account, it takes money out of my Bitcoin account. I load my BitPay account with Bitcoin, and then I use this as just a regular debit card. What does that mean? I'm first of all, the transaction fees are less. There's less of an expense that there is for me. But I've moved it out of the central banking system and moved it into what I call humanity-based banking financial system. It's empowered by everyday people like you and me that are choosing to participate in that. Okay? So, but what I did talk about 3 weeks ago is that because they're realizing that they're losing their full power and control in the two paradigms, they're losing the information control paradigm because of the internet, and they're now losing also the money control paradigm because of the internet, that they're moving into a new form of control. And this is not new. It's been around for well over 30 years, and there have been private organizations that have been able to do this over 30 years ago. But the new shift is to forms of artificial intelligence control. Artificial intelligence, the technology is now so far advanced that they don't have to put the chip in you that you're seeing out there in the news media that some of these people are getting chipped in some of these other countries. They don't have to use the full chips. Some of these chips, if you can call them that, they're not even chips. They're dust. They're little tiny particles of dust that you can barely see with the naked human eye. And there are countless of ways they can get those into your body. And it gets into your body, and then what it does, it lodges up against your spine, and it becomes empowered by the impulses, the energy impulses off of your central nervous system that go up and down your spine. It also is what feeds these chips. And this type of a chip on the inside of you, it operates in two primary functions. Number one, it operates as a GPS unit, so they can always tell where they are, and it also has an internal microphone that is on it as well. But number two, it has the ability to be a receptor of electromagnetic waves of information energy. The same way that cell phones use cell phone towers to basically send out wireless communication to our cell phones, they are also now using the technology in cell phone towers to target individuals, because they can target the chip, they can find out the identity of the chip in the individual, and they can then send electronic impulses into the individual, stimulating their thoughts. That is the new form of power and control that's coming our way. Myself and others were very well aware of that. We know what it is. And for those of you that have been coming to my workshops, I've been saying that, but I've also been saying there is a way for us to overcome that and get beyond that. Now, 3 weeks ago on the program, I didn't share what's the antidote? Because that's the type of stuff that they come after me for if I feel that I don't have what I call a security release or a protection around giving this information. I'm going to share something with you tonight that I have never shared on the air. I have shared this with individuals, and I have shared it at the workshops. Back in January, many of you that follow me on a regular basis understand and know I was in a motorcycle accident. It did not take very long for us to find out that that was an attempt to take me out. It was a direct attempt to kill me because I knew too much information, and they didn't want me to continue. After it happened, there was basically some organizations that had rallied around me, and I am told now by multiple sources that, yes, I'm always followed and watched, and I have a protection that basically comes from what you call the white hats, that because they're allowing me to bring this information to you. That's about all that I can say on that. But folks, that's the level that I'm dealing at now. And the folks that I met with recently, it was kind of like I stepped up to another higher level where my security and the things that I say, I just have to be much more careful than ever before. And as I said, I have to be a lot more careful about what I say on the internet, because things can be taken and spread broadcast very widely on the internet. And once it's out there on the internet, you basically lose control of it. In the workshops, I'm sharing it verbally, and I'm sharing it verbally, and we're watching and controlling who's recording. I have a much more control. I only have about 80 to 100 people that are there. Here I have an audience that could be 5 to 10,000, and I have absolutely no idea how many of you are going to watch this, or what you're going to do with it, how you're going to distort it. So who knows what. And yes, I do have people out there that would want to basically totally distort what I am saying, is because they don't want this happening for us. There are people out there. There are cabal that are out there. Do not want us participating in this process. And so I'm allowed to share certain things, and I've had the assurance that, yes, I am covered. I am protected. I have security that is placed around me, and I get that from multiple sources. That's about all I can say on that right now. But let's come back to, if we know that the artificial intelligence system is coming, if you want to understand that, one of the best places you can go to learn about it is the wingmakers.com website and the Dr. Neruda interviews, and predominantly the fifth interview. Dr. Neruda was a part of an organization that was called the Labyrinth Group. The Labyrinth Group was run by a gentleman by the name of A.R. Borden. A.R. Borden also was the director of what was called the ACIO, the Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization. It was basically a sub-branch of the NSA. The ACIO was the covert operations of our government that were involved with and communicating with ETs and all these UFO spaceships. And Borden was a master at that. And Neruda was one of his associates that was there. And in the Wingmakers material and in the story called The Ancient Arrow Project, you can read about how they acquired this information. It was basically an optical disc, like a giant DVD, that was left behind years and years ago. That was basically, they said that was from some ET races that had come out from the future. And for those of you who want to say, well, now I'm really getting into woo-woo stuff and crazy stuff, folks, everything I bring to you, you can do your own research and you can find this on the internet yourself. And you can also find the fact that it's all backed by either scientific research or it's backed by what I call tangible intelligence information that's very solid. We know Albert Einstein told us over 100 years ago there is no such thing as time. So it understands how the energy systems work in the different dimensions that we live and exist in. And as human beings, we live in what is called a third dimensional world. Well, a lot of these other races and ET beings, they operate in the fourth and fifth dimensional worlds. They operate in the other dimensions. They're multidimensional, so they're not restricted by our physical limitations of this third dimensional world. But they do have the ability to communicate, and they do have the ability to go out there. And we have had 40 and 50 years of history in the shadow world of knowing that they have been communicating with us. Now, that's a different story. But here's what's key about the Neruda interviews. He did these interviews 19 years ago, and he had five interviews that he gave this one lady who was a reporter, a journalist. In the interviews, the first four were released immediately. Excuse me. Sneezed. Okay. The first four interviews were released right away. This fifth interview was not released until 4 years ago. And it's because the information on it was so sensitive and was so new that they felt they needed to wait until we had progressed and technology and information had shifted enough that there would be some of us that would be receptive to what they were bringing out. But what they do is talk about the future of the human race for 60 years. And in that, they talk about we're going to be moving into what they called human 3.0. And there will be two versions of this human 3.0. Human 1.0 was the Homo erectus. 2.0 was Homo sapiens, with a number of upgrades all along the way. And they says we're now moving into an era of human 3.0. And there will be two versions. One, there will be what is called the sovereign integral. And these are these are the people that live from what is called this I am, we are consciousness. And they take that on and they develop that as a lifestyle, as a behavior lifestyle. He said the other will be by default a human race that is controlled by artificial intelligence. And they'll have physical human bodies, but they're pretty much, their whole thought systems are manipulated and influenced by artificial intelligence. So how do we overcome that? And why is that so important to us that are involved in these currency exchanges and the funding of these projects? Well, one of the reasons why it's important for us, if this, these funds are released to us, you better believe those that control the artificial intelligence are going to want to control us. But there is what I call the divine intervention. And this divine intervention is the way that we overcome that. And again, this comes from three really good sources. The Wingmakers material, Dr. Neruda's interviews. James Mahu, who is the originator of the Wingmakers. And then it also comes from a lot of the information that correlates that comes out of A Course in Miracles. It comes out of some of the private writings that came from A.R. Borden. And it correlates and parallels the writings of Gary Renard, who I've always talked about his book. The first one was Disappearance of the Universe. And it, because what it does, it talks about moving into a new state of consciousness, into a new state of awareness, to a new state of understanding of who we are as a human race. And this consciousness, I call it what is called heart consciousness. The people at Heart Math Institute call it heart coherence. Neruda, in his interviews, calls it the I am, we are consciousness, the sovereign, becoming the sovereign integral. And we have to understand what is the basis of all that. We first know that we live in a world where everything is energy. Everything at its very root base is energy. When you strip away all of the layers of matter, we understand it. And when we get down to the layer, you know, of the atoms and the molecules, and even beneath the atoms, we see everything is nothing but massive vibrating energy. But this energy all vibrates at different frequencies and dimensions. I mean, different frequencies and different vibrations. We are basically energy beings. And we are a compilation of this energy. Quantum energy is the energy level that is below the atoms. And what Neruda talks about and what James Mahu talks about is that, and this is even now coming out of the research from Heart Math Institute, they have found that inside the human heart, there's a second brain, a very, very small brain. But it hasn't been understood because the brain, for the vast majority of humanity, it's been dormant. It hasn't been active. And we are moving now into a shift of a consciousness state where we are learning how to activate that heart brain to produce this heart consciousness. And it comes from having a certain type of behavioral lifestyle. In the Wingmakers material, Neruda's interviews, he talks about what are called the heart virtues. And these heart virtues are gratitude, forgiveness, understanding, humility, courage, and compassion. And when you develop those six heart virtues and make that be a habitual lifestyle, it activates this heart consciousness energy. And it literally produces this quantum energy field that comes from out us, and it goes out and it radiates out around us, and it produces an energy field that surrounds our whole being. And this energy field operates at a very high vibration. And that vibration is so high and so strong that it becomes almost like a defense shield from the artificial intelligence impulses coming from the different sources. Because, see, it operates at a lower vibration. And higher vibration energy will always cancel out the lower vibration energies. And so the lower vibration energy can't penetrate through this quantum energy field. When I talk about this, the first reaction of a lot of people would think, he said, no, just believe me. This is all based on good, solid scientific research that's been going on for 20 and 30 years. And it's just starting to now come out to us in the public. To be what we call the sovereign integral, moving into that for the remainder of the period of time I'm going to be on this planet. I've been working on this stuff in my own life personally now for about 4 or 5 years. And here's what I absolutely believe, and I share this again with all the folks that attend the workshops. If you're on this list of mine for a currency exchange, and if you've been listening to my radio programs for a period of time, then I would say there's a reason why you are here. You're the one that gets to know that the funding that is being released to you is not about you and me getting rich. It's about using it as a tool to release us from various forms of financial slavery so we can start developing this heart consciousness energy, this heart consciousness lifestyle, producing this heart consciousness field around us, and then passing that on to others. And that money is a very powerful tool to do that. And we capture people's attention sometimes by money. If we go into, you know, some of the more poverty countries around the world, and we're releasing millions of dollars to them and helping them of their lifestyle, but in the same time being in their presence with this type of energy, they begin to pick up on it. Now, here's another thing. They're discovering that it's talked about in the Wingmakers material, and it's also been a part of the research from HeartMath Institute. This quantum energy field, it resides within our DNA, already there, waiting to be released, waiting to be activated, waiting to be set free. We set this free, this energy field, this quantum energy field around us. Not only is it a protection against us, but other people who are in a mindset of being receptive, they pick it up. Not only do they pick it up, when they move into a thought process of saying, I see that, I want that, it begins to penetrate into their DNA. Research has shown that photon light energy can instantly change the DNA within physical beings, whether it's animals or us as human beings. And it's in our DNA that there's the memory of all everything that we've gone through in our past. And this photon light energy literally comes out of this heart, this second brain within the heart, and it's based deep within our DNA, and it releases out, and those who are receptive to it, they pick it up, and they take it in, and it starts shifting and changing their DNA. There is a book that was written a number of years ago called Virus of the Mind. And it talks about how virus is like, there's a thought process that's like a virus that you can pick up, and why certain people pick up to do certain things, certain behaviors, certain fads that begin to, you know, affect people as the different fads that we all go through. And that's an example of what is happening. You see, we're picking up this energy DNA coming out from each other, and we're receptive to it, so we pick it up. This is an energy DNA that operates at an extremely higher level of energy vibration, and it's based upon very positive, high-energy behaviors, and it's all centralized around love is what it is. That's the protection that is available for us. But it can't be something you're just going to talk about or think about. It is something you have to do, and you have to develop it as a behavioral lifestyle. That's the movement and the direction that we're going into. I have shared in the workshops that this whole issue of these currencies exchanges and these funds that are being released is a process that's not just going to be a one-shot deal. This is going to be a process that's going to be ongoing for a number of years. But we are the ones that get to be a part of this in the early stages of development. We're the ones that get to be the trailblazers. We're the ones that are getting to be the first ones to experience this. Now, having said that, it's extremely important, if you want to be involved in this process, that you would pick this up. Because see, if you receive all of these funds, and you don't develop this sense of a heart consciousness, energy, protective shield around you, you can expect the fact that you will be targeted in a very high targeting list of artificial intelligence control. Just expect it. Just expect it. So, it's time. I have been authorized by some of the folks that are much higher than me to be able to release this information now. You see, this money coming out isn't just about getting rich. It's not about you being in an opportunity to get a bunch of money that others didn't. It's about shifting and changing our humanity. let me share something with you that also these folks that I was with, not necessarily just the ones last week, but in some of the sources that I have, they had a contact with a military general. And this was a man who some years ago ran Area 51. Not only did he run Area 51, you can go on YouTube and you can do your own research on this and you will find this yourself, that at Area 51, they also ran what was called the Looking Glass Project. The Looking Glass Project, you can go on the YouTube and you can see the pictures of it. It was this giant round object, and it had this inside the center of it had all this light energy that was coming out. But it was kind of like a portal that they could look into and they could see future timelines. Now, I want to be careful how I explain that. They could see the future. It was a form of a time travel and a technology that allowed them to do that. And yeah, the stuff is for real. You can go do your own research on it, okay? The Looking Glass was they could look into it, and what they would see was the different probabilities of timelines. Now, what does that mean? Well, our brains produce this quantum energy field. And this quantum energy field, when this energy, it lines up in strings of energy strings, it comes to quantum string theory. That quantum, those quantum string theories are what prevent, or I should say, what create our experiences. And when you have a number of people coming together collectively, you have a collective consciousness of this quantum string energy of events that create certain events, whether it's a small collective or if it's large, as large as a country of people on a collective. And so what we're doing, we're in the process of creating everything that we experience. And you had different groups that literally would have different timelines of probability based on what the things that they were creating and what they were experiencing. And they started with this Looking Glass Project all the way back in the 1950s. And they, over the decades, they studied it and studied it and studied it. And they would run iterations of where this would take. And they said over and over and over again, what they found is that all these timelines, all these different probabilities would end up merging into one single timeline at one time in history. And this was decades ago they were doing this research. And you don't want to know when that date was? Yes, the year 2012. They kept seeing that all the timelines came down to a specific spot in the year 2012. And it was there that we had this massive energy shift, this massive energy change. And this created very, very serious problems for them. It actually scared them. And the reason it scared them was they didn't necessarily see the end of the world. What they saw was the end of their world, of their power and control. And they realized everything they tried to do to keep their power under control, it wasn't going to happen. There was going to be a shift and change. And there's an individual that is interviewed, and you can watch his interview, you can go do your research and watch it on YouTube. And he was one that worked there on the project. He was one of the computer operators that ran in all the different potentials of the probabilities that would come up. And the interview asked him, what was the major shift and change from 2012 and beyond? And he says, there was a massive shift and change in the human consciousness. We began to wake up. We began to wake up to what was really going on in our world. We began to shift and change our consciousness, and we began to rise to a higher level of consciousness of how we relate to each other. That's the shift and change that's coming. And the money is very much a part of this. They shut down the Looking Glass Project because it so scared them. They didn't know how to handle that at that time. Well, here's what I can share with you now. It's been opened back up because we passed 2012 and they're now using it again. I need to be very careful about what I say on this, but all I can say is that they're seeing what's coming our way. And we're not in these massive numbers of timelines. When all those timelines came into a single timeline in 2012, there were a few that verged out of that and split, and they end up separating. And what we had was the two different timelines, predominantly talking about the two versions of Human 3.0 that Dr. Neruda talked about. We had the release of these people like you and me that are going to move into a higher sense of consciousness being. We're going to move into becoming the sovereign integral. What does that mean? We're sovereign beings, but we're all integrated. We're all connected. Why? Because, see, all energy is connected. Energy is always in a connected form. And so as we do that, as we move as sovereign integrals and come together collectively with this heart consciousness energy, there's enough of us collectively, we will begin to shift and change everything around us. James Mahu, in his writings in the Wingmakers material, says that there will be between 15 and 20 million people over the next few decades that will develop this and will be massively producing this quantum energy field. And they are the ones that are going to be setting the stage for the next 40 to 60 years of development of the human race, in contrast to the artificial intelligence world. What they also saw, those that are now working with the Looking Glass Project, they saw this shift and change in the funding. Because they understood that this money being released predominantly for projects was a shift and change. Now, it's important to understand that these are not exact prophecies or predictions, and the timelines are not absolutely solid, because, see, what they're reading is this quantum energy field, string theory events, are created from the energy of our thoughts. And because energy is timeless, it doesn't operate within the restrictions of what we call linear time. They have the technology that reads this energy. And it's kind of like, you know, a wireless communication of a video that they can tap into and read. And so they're seeing the probabilities, but they can shift and change. But they were seeing the release of these funds being used for the shift and change of humanity and what I had just talked about. That's why we're here. That's why we're here involved in this. The people that come to my workshops, this is the stuff I've had permission to talk about at the workshops, but I haven't had permission to be able to come to this level of talking about this on these programs. And we are so close to what they're believing that it's time for me to be able to release to say this. I'm not the only one who says this stuff, though, folks. There's lots of other people that are saying the same message in just a different way in how I've explained it. At the end of the day, it's about shifting and changing our heart consciousness. It's about creating to, I'm saying hi and goodbye to one of the people that I'm here with because they left me a little note. So, okay. It's about shifting and changing our world. It's about being the people who are going to be leading the way to the shift and change in humanity, in the raising of our consciousness and bringing about a better world that we want. And money is a tool to do that. But at the end of the day, it's not the end all. It's only a starting point of a great shift and change that we are allowed to go through. There's a reason why you're here on my list listening to these programs. Because I absolutely believe if you're here and you're consistent and you're faithful, you're here because there's a divine call in your life as well to be a part of this. You will always get to choose whatever your response will be. You will always get to choose however it is you want to go about that. Okay, hold on. Let me take a look at my notes here. Okay, very important, as I said, that if you want to participate in all this currency and project release of funds, that you're going to want to be able to understand this. I will be continuing with these themes. And as I said, I really go into much, much more detail in the workshops. And that's why I encourage you coming there, because it's there that we have time to have interaction. You have time to answer, ask all the questions you want. You have time to understand this in a better way. And I'm able to even give more of the resources that are there so you can go and do your own work. This heart consciousness development takes work. It's not something that you can just flip a button or flip a switch and it's going to happen in you. You have to do the work to bring it into your life. And part of that work is clearing out the old, denser energy of old thought patterns and and programs that is there within our DNA. And that's another whole topic that I don't want to get into tonight, or I don't have time to get into tonight. But what really makes it work is not just taking on the new behaviors, but it's also cleaning out the old ones. It demands a behavioral shift. And a behavioral shift takes work. And part of the releasing of these funds so that you have the freedom and the time to do that work. So that when you take your money and you want to fund projects, you're not just putting money out. You're putting out this quantum energy field that's going to shift and change our world. It's the collection of the two. Money is an attract. It does attract. For those of us that live in the third dimensional world, it's a very powerful attracting tool. It's a power tool. But it's a tool for us to have a voice and to have an impact in how we get to be the ones to bring about a better world. What's extremely important in this process is that whatever you and I might see taking place in contrast to this, whatever we might see or perceive taking place in the cabal energy sources, the New World Order issues, what I could recommend to you is just let it go. Don't focus on the old stuff. Don't focus on the stuff that is so-called bad and evil. Focus on shifting you. You do that. If we do that, it shifts and changes that as well, because that powerful energy will always move in and overtake the others. It's the whole concept that light always will overtake any corresponding darkness. It always does. That's the laws of nature, the rules of the universe. And so we become light field beings with this quantum energy field that shifts and changes everything around us. Well, I think that's the message I wanted to bring this week. And I'm trying to think of anything. Blanca, are you there?
I am here.
You didn't have yourself on hold. So, okay, well, share with me your thoughts. Share with us your thoughts. I'm going to have some water here, folks, okay?
Right. I've got plenty. Unfortunately, I think we determined that there's an echo, so I'm not sure if we want to do something about that.
Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of it.
Okay.
We'll do what we can, and when the program is over, I'll go back and I'll listen, to the file that's been saved and see if I can do some auditing. But go ahead, share what you.
Okay. Okay.
Because
very
the echo
well.
Doesn't always come through
okay.
on the recording.
Very good. Well. Okay. Very good. So
go ahead.
You gave us a mouthful and much to think about. And But probably the gist of the message, really, that I'm digesting is that the currency exchange and funding for projects is going to cause quite a paradigm shift, quite a liberation for ourselves and for the folks who are going to be affected positively by this money, but that it's a tool, but that the bigger context of this thing we're going to experience is a shift in humanity, in a shift in the consciousness of humanity, and an upgrade, so to speak. And as in most things in our experience here in 3D, we've got to make effort, and there has to be an investment, and then there's always an easy way out as well. And we've seen this in small things and large things. And so the easy way out, from what I'm hearing you say, is the transhumanism part. And this is where, pretty much we let ourselves be mind-controlled, and it's going to be an incremental thing, and maybe you can talk about that. Or, as you were sharing, the practicing of the heart virtues. And these are very high energy practices, very high energy behaviors, very high energy perspectives. And not only is that an antidote to the movement towards transhumanism, but it actually helps us shift our consciousness those are some of the messages that I'm hearing. Am I on track with you there?
Yes, yes. Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Is that your phone or down mine?
What was that?
Oh, there was a phone ringing in the background, and then I don't know if it was here or if it was you, but whatever. I was just making a side comment.
No, I guess it's the Wingmakers calling.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to have them call me anytime.
Right? Right. And
yeah.
The other thing that I think you shared, which is key, is the notion of the sovereign integral is the I am, we are consciousness. I think many people in your circle know about the I am presence and the I am teaching. But I think the additional dimension here is the we are consciousness. And so, yes, we're sovereign. We're eternal, infinite being. But we are also one with all that is. And to really start operating that way also helps with this issue and major block called separation. Did I lose you? Hello? Hear you. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, so now I'm getting a text, and it sounds like if you are on Blog Talk, I think I'm getting the message that you can hear me, but it doesn't sound like we can hear Dave. So you all may want to text Dave and let him know that. I'm trying to Skype him, but since he's not at home, sometimes he doesn't open up his Skype. So we'll see if he gets the message. Okay, I'm getting the message that Dave knows that, so he might try to call back in. Hey, guys, you must be the most patient audience there with all the challenges we have with this. So hopefully Dave is practicing his heart virtues as he's trying to get back on the line. And I am going to refrain from trying to do anything and see if he can figure out how to get back on. Let's see, there's room for him to just dial in. So that's an idea. If he can dial in as a guest, and I think maybe we can get him back on the show. I think he has a Skype in because I'm Skyping him and he's not responding. Well, folks, let's see. I joked that maybe the Wingmakers were trying to call him. Maybe they did call him, and he's having a wonderful conversation with them and just forgot about us. But let's see. You might have to text him, too. I'm sure plenty of y'all are trying to text him. How about y'all taking bets whether he's going to be able to get on or not? I think he'll figure out a way to get back on. Let me text him and see if that'll work.